Why don't you want to talk about the Gettysburg Address, Mr. Serious Newsman?
It's history.
Well, yes, it is. It's history. It's incredible history.
I didn't
history.
Say that. I just thought there were better topics than today than the Gettysburg Address.
Four score. Here's a quiz for you. Yes. How many years is 4 score and 7 years ago? Smart guy.
4 score. 14.
Jeez, what?
Just made it up. Scores. What is scores?
A score is 20 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it's like 87 or something.
Were you talking about Fargo and tumbleweeds and winos? What was that?
Back in the day, it used to be that way.
Were you
downtown
and
Fargo?
Councilman Altenberg hung out at Reuters and
Bismarck and
Pink Pussycat and the Zephyr and the Roundup?
The Roundup Lounge. Boy, I had a wake-up call and I walked into the Roundup Lounge one time. Wow.
I was across the street in high school from there one time in my
bus station?
International pickup.
Oh, really?
And the beat officer at the time, I was in town with a friend at that, there's a store that never closes. You know which one I mean?
I do, yeah.
And someone, I was late teens, early 20s, and we were in town to purchase some items for a friend of ours was getting married.
Oh.
And Officer Lopez was on the beat.
He was.
Yes, he was. And he saw me in the corn binder in the middle of a hot summer afternoon sitting there. And I was underage. I'm sure I was underage. And he came up, and I was sitting in my buddy went into that store that never closes to pick up some items for the bachelor party. And he came up, and he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, my friend. He says, okay, but, you know, you're a minor, and you're sitting here, and it just looked kind of suspicious. And I said, well, my buddy will be out, and we're heading back to Fergus. So that was my back in the day, the Zephyr and the Pussycat. And
when
and
I
the
first came to Fargo, Moore had to go to college. I wasn't aware of what different parts of town or what different establishments were all about. And so I think it might have been a hot summer afternoon when I was in downtown
maybe
Fargo.
Maybe it was the same afternoon.
I wasn't going to that store that never closed that you were going to, I'll tell you that much. But we saw the sign for the Roundup Lounge, me and a couple of buddies, right?
Uh-huh.
And maybe we'd already partaken a little bit in that hot summer afternoon. We said, hey, let's stop into this place. Looks like a nice place. It wasn't a very nice place. It really wasn't.
Well, the older you got, the more you appreciated it.
No. No, I don't think we would have appreciated it at any age. I have never been asked to buy so many beers for people as I was asked to buy beers for people.
That you didn't know.
That I didn't know just coming to me saying, hey, buy me a beer. And I didn't realize quite the clientele that had gone into that place.
It's the 150th anniversary, by the way, of the Gettysburg Address. And Senators Hovind and Heitkamp, we have a little news clip. They recited it last night, and it's part of a project by Ken Burns, the infamous filmmaker.
And I don't think he's infamous. Yeah. I think he's famous.
Well, famous. Filmmaker. Just a filmmaker, then.
Thank you.
Boy.
Well, you're the wordsmith.
No, you are. Well. You used to write for a living, and you still do. But anyway, they may be the only two senators that did this for the special project, and it's going to end up in some sort of an educational program down the road. So Senators Heitkamp and Hovind from North Dakota.
Just Heitkamp and Hovind.
Well,
no, nobody
think.
Else. No other politicians from North Dakota.
We're not sure.
We think.
In fact, we got a hold of their reciting of the Gettysburg Address this morning.
Their recitation?
Yes. And one of the office, Jim Monk was working on the story and called one of the offices. Well, we won't say which one. And he said, well, how'd you get a hold of it already? They just did it last night. Mm-hmm. We had our ways.
We know Ken Burns. I like Ken's haircut.
Right.
I like his hair. Number four on the 4 o'clock four-pack list today, Jurgi. Gosh, a newsman's and a talk radio host's dream would be to live in Toronto, Canada right now, because the mayor of Toronto, a gentleman by the name of Rob Ford, is going nutso.
He has apparently declared
war on the Toronto City Council yesterday at a city council meeting on Monday. City councilors stripped him of pretty much all of his powers in Toronto, and he pretty much said, mark my words, friends, this is going to be outright war in the next election, and I'm going to do everything I can in my power to beat you guys.
This is this all started when there were allegations that he was smoking crack cocaine, and then he said he wasn't, and then the video surfaced, and then he said he had, right?
But he was extremely drunk, so that's...
He said he was in a drunken stupor.
A drunken stupor, yes, that's right.
And then he gave...
Reminds me of my day in the Roundup Lounge.
Some of his staff, nice raises last week, just...
Sure.
Yeah, $5,000.
Yesterday, he tackled a female city council member.
I've talked to some people about that, and I don't know if he tackled her.
Oh, did he too.
It looked like he kind of stumbled.
Looked like Joey Browner taking down Barry Sanders for He did too.
He stumbled.
No, he didn't. He tackled her.
Why is there so much attention being paid to this this story in this country? It's kind of one of my questions, other than it's just
across
the wall.
He's the mayor of a large city in Canada, which is almost like America.
I guess so. It's just across the... I guess. I guess. But if it was the mayor of...
Moscow.
Or somewhere in, you know, Europe, we wouldn't pay much attention to it.
If he was smoking crack and was tackling city council members, I bet it would get some play in the American news.
Not like it has, though.
Just wish there was something like that around here. Be great.
Make good copy.
Make great copy. So if anybody knows anybody out there who's a mayor who's tackling city council members and smoking crack, give us a call right here. Text me at 35270. Number three on our list, Jurgi. This is great. And this reminded me of Bonnie Amistadi, by the way. I don't know why, but it did.
What?
She went to college. She went to college in St. Cloud.
Oh, sure. And she had probably couches on the porch.
St. Cloud residents are now restricted on what type of furniture they can have outside. The St. Cloud City Council unanimously approved on Monday an ordinance amendment that prohibits putting furniture designed for interior use outdoors on private property or upon adjacent public right-of-way. In other words, all of those couches and lazy boys and barca loungers that you sometimes see when you're driving through, college areas of towns, no more in St. Cloud, Minnesota.
They will warn the first time, and then the next time could be a $100 fine. Now, they do have some accommodations. If you've got a chair you set out for pickup, you know, it's cleanup week, where you call the garbage utility, they're going to come and get it. Things that you're giving away, you know, just take this. And I've done that somewhat recently with a Nordic track. But that's,
I thought that was a clothes rack.
It was. It was a very nice clothes rack. And
very expensive clothes rack.
It was. And then, it took, I would say, a good day and a half for somebody to take that. Someone in the household thought it'd be really neat to have a Nordic track when they were very popular. You know those exercise ski gizmos, and then we hung shirts on it, and I said I'm sick of this thing, and put it on the curb. And it took a good day and a half. We put a free sign. Finally, somebody took it. So I know what they're talking about. I was just in Grand Forks moving my daughter home. She's beginning the process of moving home after 7 years in college. But no. No. The last three.
Not that you're bitter about
that. No. I've got to clarify. The last two and a half have been law school.
Oh.
So, and she's graduating law school early. I know people that have gone, what's Paul Allen, the Viking, voice of the Vikings?
Yeah.
He went to community college in California, community college, a two-year school for seven.
Did he really? Is that a true story?
I don't think he graduated.
I don't think he did either.
But so I've seen that. I saw that in somewhat regulated there. Some of the frat houses, though, one of my sons was in one of the fraternity houses in Grand Forks, and sure, they had things outside that belonged inside.
No, is it to make things look better?
I think so.
To keep the trashy aesthetic type of thing?
I think so.
Is there an exemption for what if you're having just a knockdown, drag-out kegger on a Saturday afternoon? Can you have furniture outside then?
I mean, what if you were
going to burn the town down with a kegger?
I don't think
Grill some steaks.
You get a warning and
have a bunch of people come
fine.
Over and pay you $5 for keg beer. They're not going to let you have a lazy boy outside
sectional,
on your porch.
No sectional on the porch.
Ridiculous. Silly. Number two on our list today, Jurgi. This is a sad story. Actually, the story broke yesterday, but there was a gentleman hit by a train and killed in downtown Fargo. And as it turned out, you guys reported on it yesterday. Most media outlets around town did as well. But it was learned this morning that the person who was hit and killed by the train was somebody who actually a lot of folks around town know, a gentleman by the name of Chad Johnson. He was an assistant coach with the Fargo Force hockey team. He played hockey at UND and actually was a head coach in the USHL for the Lincoln Stars for several years prior to resigning earlier this year. Bad story.
Burlington Northern Santa Fe train crew, I heard the call about 5:30 during our 5:30 news yesterday afternoon, and Bonnie Amistadi was on the scene there last night. I didn't know Chad Johnson, didn't meet Chad Johnson, but you did, given your background and police are investigating. It doesn't look like there was anything, as they say, foul play involved. We don't know exactly what happened. He did leave the team in Lincoln a couple of months ago, was
September
it?
He resigned for what was cited, what
personal
he said, is health issues.
Health reasons, and indicated to them that he wanted to come back to Fargo, family, and that type of thing. So, yeah, sad story. That's one of those, things we deal with.
Number one. Now, this is also a sad story, in a way, and because a gentleman died. Bob Litherland of Fargo passed away.
Yes,
Bob
did.
Was 91 years old. Now, if it had just passed and I didn't know people in Moorhead that were telling me this, I wouldn't have known. But Bob Litherland actually was part of the team that invented. Why do you keep looking in the newsroom? What's going on in there?
I was waiting for a call. Just go ahead. Continue.
Invented the Dilly Bar.
The Dilly Bar, famous at Dairy Queen.
Bob and Phyllis Litherland owned the downtown Moorhead Dairy Queen beginning in 1949. They owned it until 1995, I believe. But in 1955...
Yep.
What's going on here?
What?
What's happening here? Hey, look at this!
Oh, Dilly Bars.
It's
Jim Monk just brought in Dilly Bars. Daniel's got one. Thanks. Thanks, Jim. I got one. Sean Olson's getting it. Jim Monk's got one. Jim Monk's got a Dilly Bar.
Wait a second.
The girl in the leather pants has one.
Anyway, look at, there she goes again.
Holy cow. Chocolate. There's a run-up. How many did we? One, two, three, four.
Bob Litherland helped invent the Dilly Bar.
He did.
The Dilly Bar.
Some guys from Stillwater came up and they had this idea and they went to his Dairy Queen at 8th and Main and they had sticks, tongue depressors. And they had this idea and he called in some fellow Dairy Queen owners from around the area, I think Castleton and West Fargo, and said, hey.
Apparently there used to be one at Island Park in Moorhead and Fargo as well.
I think there was in that area. And that's how it all started. He brought those guys over and it took off from Dairy Queen. And there's some flags up in his neighborhood this morning at half mast. Jim Monk was over there and snapped a photograph. And I didn't realize that the Dilly Bar really had it started in Moorhead till today. And I know the mayor-elect, Delray Williams, was a neighbor. We interviewed her today, and she lives on the same street. She was coming home from the council meeting last night, saw these flags, and thought, what in the world? And then found out that Bob Litherland had died. So
I have a question for you. And by the way, thank you, Mr. Litherland, for starting the Dairy Queen in Moorhead. It's still open, still going strong under different ownership.
Yes.
Thank you for that. We go there many times every summer.
And you love Dilly Bars.
And second of all, I love Dilly Bars. They're my favorite ice cream treat. And so I'd like to thank very much Jim Monk for walking in the newsroom several minutes ago,
Daniel,
giving Pinto a Dilly Bar.
I got one.
Giving Paul Juergens a Dilly Bar.
Shauna's got one.
Giving Shauna Olson a Dilly Bar. And then Jim Monk walking out of here with a Dilly Bar still in his hand and not giving me a Dilly Bar.
After we broke this story mid-morning, there's been a run on Dilly Bars. And these are the last four in town. And Jim Monk, I don't know how he picked who got one. He just came in here and he had nice chocolate Dilly Bars.
He walks out of here holding a Dilly Bar looking at me smirking. This was all a setup. You guys set me up.
Take my Dilly Bar.
Take your Dilly Bar.
No.
Take your Dilly Bar.
Daniel's still got some left.
He's eating his. Have a right bite. In the air.
Take my Dilly Bar. I don't want a Dilly Bar. I didn't. Jim Monk, apparently.
That's why you're looking in the newsroom.
I think he went by seniority. No, Daniel hasn't been here that long.
He's been like a year, so no. Paul Juergens, thank you,
take
my friend.
Take my Dilly Bar.
I'm going to take your Dilly Bar. I'm going to eat your Dilly Bar. Thank you, my friend. Paul Juergens, KFGO News Director, every day on the 4 o'clock 4-pack.